So we are encouraging you following this service to take your cup of coffee and go down and wander a little bit, because we will accept your donations of money for anything that you want to pick up. Otherwise, it will all be going away to charitable entities as of tomorrow. So we ask that you do some shopping. Any other announcements?
I'd like to offer a big thank you. I think the foundation should be very pleased with Gene Baum and Michelle Lockwood for all the work, and their crew, for all the work that they put in the basement sale. We do not have the final total. We will have, in a couple of weeks, but it was very successful. Yes, there's a lot of stuff downstairs, but it was very successful. So thank you to those two ladies.
So thank you to everyone who donated, to everyone who set up, to those who will be tearing down, and to those who shopped, and to those who assisted with the shopping. I know my husband showed off some of his talents. And he also had a chance to meet people from the congregation and the community, so it was a good thing. Michelle, you wanted to say something?
Well, I was just going to add on to thank everyone for, there was a couple of private donations made too,
yes,
the funds that were, and we were very successful. I can just say over 800, I think the first day, over 9, the second approximately, and so somewhere in that range. Anyway. So I wanted to also thank everybody, people and horse, that all the workers and everything, all the help we had. It was a one successful again, and again, thanks to Jean for her organization.
So we will be able to make a very generous donation to the Johnson County Fire Relief Fund. So shopping can continue right after this service. We'll take any of those donations. Any other announcements we need to take care of? If not, please stand as you're able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin and come to God for healing. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have honored you with our lips, but have harmed our neighbors with our tongues. The cravings at war within us cause conflicts and disputes. In our desire to be first, we make distinctions among ourselves. We place the needs of the poor and the suffering last. In your great mercy, forgive us our sins. Draw near to us with grace in time of need, and turn us to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God promises to forgive our iniquity and to remember our sin no more. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, number 504.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Pray. Eternal light, shine in our hearts. Eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of our ignorance. Eternal compassion, have mercy on us. Turn us to seek your face and enable us to reflect your goodness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31. This passage speaks not only of the southern kingdom, Judah, and its homecoming from exile in Babylon, but also of the northern kingdom, Israel, or Ephraim, and its restoration. The northern tribes of Israel have been lost in exile to Assyria more than a century before Jeremiah prophesied. A reading from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chiefs of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the furthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble, for I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 126 responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then he said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the river.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who bow weeping, carrying the seed,
will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 7. Human priests of old sacrificed for their own sins and served only until their death. In contrast, Jesus is God's Son, the holy, sinless, resurrected high priest. Death did not terminate his priestly service, but through his death, he has interceded for our sins. A reading from Hebrews. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
According to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, a rock and a redeemer. Amen. We have been in chapter 10 of Mark since September the 29th, and our gospel lesson today concludes this chapter. A lot has gone on in chapter 10. Do you remember what happened last week? Well, what happened was that in chapter 9, we had the disciples arguing about who is the greatest. And they did this after Jesus had talked about his death and his resurrection. They start arguing about who's the greatest. And he calls them out on it. And the next thing that we hear from them is James and his brother John coming forward saying, "Jesus, when you enter into your kingdom, can you put us in the positions of authority on your right and your left?" So here we are with this particular reading. Jesus and his disciples and a great crowd are leaving Jericho. We don't know why they've been in Jericho. We just know that they're on the way, and on the way is on the way to Jerusalem. That is where Jesus is heading. He's told them that over and over again, and they don't want to see that. They don't want to talk about death. They don't want to talk about suffering. They want to talk about glory. So here they are on the roadway heading to Jerusalem. Great crowd has been attracted to Jesus' teachings, his preaching, his healing. And there are probably a lot of beggars sitting on the roadside with their cloaks stretched out in front of them to receive whatever alms people would like to throw at them. And here we hear a name, Bartimaeus. We don't usually hear the names of people who've been healed, but we hear it this time, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Maybe a play on words, because Timaeus means honor. So here he is, blind, begging, sitting there with his cloak outstretched to catch the alms, when he hears that Jesus is going to pass by. This may be his only chance. How else is he going to get to Jesus? No one is going to take him to Jesus. Here's his chance. As Jesus is passing by on the road that is going to lead to suffering and death, this is his opportunity. And he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." How his cry is supposed to be heard in the tumult of this crowd, I'm not sure. Nor is he. But people are telling him to be quiet. They're trying to hush him up. And as they do so, he cries all the louder. He wants to be heard. He says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And among all the voices that Jesus might be hearing in this crowd, he hears this man calling out. This man who acknowledges that he is Son of David. A messianic title. And Jesus stops. We're told he stands still. And he says, "Call him here." So maybe some of the very ones who tried to hush this man are picking him up and telling him, "Take heart, because the teacher wants to talk to you. He's calling to you." What he does, we're told, is he throws off his cloak, the only warm garment that he has, the cloak that he uses to catch the alms that are thrown to him. He throws it off, and perhaps with the assistance of some, or perhaps just on his own power, he heads toward Jesus. We're told he springs up. He doesn't hesitate. He springs up and goes toward Jesus. And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" If you remember last week's gospel, Jesus had those same words for James and John. "What do you want me to do for you?" "Well, we want you to give us positions of power." "Well, I can't give you that." But here he says, "My teacher, let me see again." That's what he wants. He wants to see again. And Jesus says, "Go, your faith has made you well." Go where? Where is he supposed to go now? He's already given up everything to follow Jesus. We don't really see that unless we look hard at this story. He's given up everything. He's given up his livelihood. What's he going to do now that he can't beg? He's thrown down his cloak. Someone's probably picked it up by this time, and the alms that went with it. What is he going to do? Where is he going to go? And he does what for him is the obvious thing. He follows Jesus on the way. He follows him on the way that leads to Jerusalem, the way that leads to suffering, to death, to resurrection. And he is praised for the boldness of his faith. the boldness of crying out to Jesus for healing. But I think we should also praise him for the boldness of following this one who's given him his sight. The Bible frequently tells us to be bold in what we ask. James and John were bold in what they asked, but they asked for the wrong thing. Here he asked for healing. He was bold in seeking the attention of Jesus. He was persistent in seeking the attention of Jesus. So my question to you is, do you have that same sort of boldness to call out to Jesus when others are trying to hush you, to tell you that your prayers don't matter, your cries don't matter? From this story, they matter a lot. They matter because Jesus hears you. He hears your bold, faithful cries. He hears you when you give up everything to follow him. On this Reformation Sunday, we think about those who are persistent in their faith, those who knew that the church is always in need of being reformed, that we as Christians are always in need of being reformed. We think of the boldness of their faith. We think of Martin Luther and all the rest and the difficult path that they journeyed. A path that led in a different direction than they originally thought. Martin Luther never planned to have happen what happened. His hope was that those in authority would listen to what he had to say and bring about reformations in the church itself. He didn't realize when he nailed those theses to the door what was going to happen, the difficult struggle that he would have to endure. He gave up everything. Persistent in what he knew was right. Bold in his faith. When we look at people throughout the generations, those that we've seen as saints and martyrs, perhaps those that we've known in our own lives who've been bold and persistent in their faith. And perhaps originally they didn't know what they were asking when they asked Jesus for something. And Jesus' answer changed everything in their lives. Can we have that same boldness? Can we have that same persistence? Can we have that same understanding that we need to be transformed? We need to be reformed every day of our lives. So let us pray. O Lord, on this Reformation Sunday, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you give us the opportunity to see more clearly the path that you are leading us on. Help us to be bold in our faith. Help us to be persistent. Help us to be enduring. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, the one who hears us, the one who heals us, the one who saves us. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Amazing Grace, number 771. let us boldly proclaim our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Challenged by God's word in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and the whole creation.
Eternal Counselor, guide the church along your paths of mercy. Direct it to be a refuge where all are genuinely welcomed and their gifts are celebrated. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Nurturer, preserve natural places for rest and rejuvenation. Guide the work of conservationists, park managers, urban planners, gardeners, and all caretakers of natural spaces. Attune us to the wonders we disregard or fail to notice. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Wisdom, strengthen the voices of those who cry out for change to unjust systems. Give lawmakers, judges, and all those who occupy seats of power listening and compassionate hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Compassion, train us to respond to the cries of those in any kind of need. Give encouragement and comfort to those who call out for relief from pain, grief, or oppression. We pray especially for those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Servant, grant vision and wisdom to the church so that those who are in need are not ignored. May the command of Jesus to love our neighbor sharpen our focus for work in the kingdom. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Hope, may the legacy of the saints inspire us every day. We hold fast to the promise that we will be together in your presence forever. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the saving grace you freely give, both now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. And I'm wondering if during the month of November we can add something to our offering, and that is to remember those who are in need of food or toiletries, and to bring donations for the food pantry that we can collect during our offering as well. The food pantry is always in need of whatever you can bring to them. There's always a need for baby wipes, for other small toiletries, for soup other than what they buy themselves. They can buy chicken noodle and tomato, so if you can think of other things that people might be interested in. And then what I'm going to ask is that you, when you go grocery shopping, just pick up a can or box or whatever that you think people could use and bring those during the month of November and just leave them in the aisles so that we can pick them up along with our offerings. If you have your blue slips for All Saints, you can add those to the offering plate as well.
Table with more than enough. blood of Christ shed for you. The 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 blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to get some.